Welcome back to the PHSA podcast. My name is David Bickford. I'm the pastor here at Salmon Arm. This is a very special podcast series where I'm going to be sharing with you messages from our most recent conference in Prescott, Arizona, the Beyond Limits Conference, with a theme of to preach the gospel in the regions beyond from 2 Corinthians 10:16. I'm going to share all of the sermons from this conference series, and to include Greg Mitchell, our head pastor, Joe Campbell, Richard Ruby, Tom Payne, and many, many others during this series. So I'll be sharing these with you over the next couple weeks, and I hope you really enjoy these messages. If you'd like to see these messages in a video format, you can go to prescottpottershouse.com, where all of these will be available for you to view in a video format. So without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and move on to the messages, and I hope you enjoy them. God bless.
Amen. What a great message that was. Tremendous privilege for me, tremendous honor to preach. Thank you, Pastor Greg. If you have your Bibles with you, please go to Genesis 45. I'd like to read 23 until 28. I never really liked Poland, at least for a long time. I didn't like it. One of my first references that I had with Poland is with going with a team on our way to Brno in Czech Republic. And we went through Poland, and there was this crossroads in Poznan. We were there with three or four cars, and all of a sudden, eight young men come out of the bushes, and they not out of the bushes, but they were there, and they were throwing a lot of foam on our car, washing our car in a way that I could not see nothing through my windshield anymore. And I wanted to say, stop, stop, stop. It's clean already. Don't do that. I don't need this. But you know what they want? They want to clean the car, and then they want the money. So I put down the windshield and got my wallet. And all of a sudden, this hand goes in, grabs the wallet, money flying everywhere on the street. Eight guys, they are scattered in eight different directions. And I see my wallet go. I did not know which guy had it, but I made a choice. I went after one of the guys, and with the grace of God, it was the guy with the wallet. I was screaming. I was using all sorts of words that I could still remember from the past before I got saved. And with God's help, it was the right guy. All of a sudden, he turned around, put up his hands, put the wallet back down, and ran off into the woods. So I was so happy. I was so thankful, but I was still shaking. And I thought, this nation, there's something the matter with this nation. I do not like this nation at all. It was not my first reference as a disciple. I remember that we had a big city bus in the church of Swola, and we went to the border of Russia and Lithuania, and we would pick up Russian disciples and drive them through Lithuania, Czech, Poland, Germany, and bring them into Holland. And so that was a great adventure. We would do that a few times. But I remember in one of those trips, I was driving the bus. We were stopped in the middle of the night. This policeman starts yelling at us, and he goes on and on and on, and we think, what is the problem? What did we do wrong? And then we find out the only thing that he wants to check our papers. So KGB like assault on our car, and that was our meeting with Poland at that moment. So these were my references. When later on people would speak to me about Poland and, Pastor, perhaps a church in Poland, I would say something in the like of perhaps other nations. There's many more nations in Europe. Let's not talk about Poland. But last year, we went into Czech Republic again, and we were driving through Poland. And it was a whole other situation. The sun was shining, And we were driving on these highways, and these highways, they were beautiful. They were brand new. They were long. They were wide. They looked even better than the German autobahns. I was excited. We could go fast. I saw a lot of new industrial development. I saw shopping malls, brand new, very nice looking. We went to a gasoline station. And people were very friendly. Actually, they were very nice. They served good coffee. We were treated very nicely. And so my whole view about Poland changed. And I'm thinking, perhaps if somebody wants to come now and speak about starting a church in Poland, I have a whole other opinion. So this is something that that struck me. I was thinking for many, many years, I have this idea, and I have this idea because my last reference was not a good reference, and I stay with that reference for many, many years until I find out the truth, which is totally different. So let's read in Genesis 45, starting at verse 23. This is the story of Jacob, and then he hears that his son Joseph is alive. The Bible says that Joseph sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with the good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain and bread and food for his father for the journey. So he sent his brothers away, and they departed, and he said to them, "See that you do not become troubled along the way." Then he went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan to Jacob, their father. And they told him, saying, "Joseph is still alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt." And Jacob's heart stood still because he did not believe them. But when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them, and when he saw the carts which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. Then Israel said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is still alive. I will go and see him before I die." I'd like to speak for a moment on reviving the spirit. First, I want to look at a formed opinion. See, things we go through, experience we go through, they form our opinions. What I experienced in Poland, I know it is long ago, but it was my last experience. They were my last impressions, and that stayed with me. I remember that I was just happy to leave that nation and drive into Germany and then later into Holland. Your last experiences, your last thoughts about the situation, they stay with you and they form your opinion. Also, what forms your opinion are words which are spoken to you. My wife is from Aruba, from the Caribbean. And many young people from the Caribbean, from Aruba at least, they come to Holland to study. But before she came to Holland, she had a conversation with a lady, and that lady had some experience in Holland, and she shared her opinion about Holland. She would say, in Holland, in the wintertime, it gets dark very early. In the wintertime and in autumn, there's a lot of rain that falls in Holland. After the rain, you get snow, and it gets very cold. It's very gray in Holland then. All the leaves fall from the trees. And people in Holland, she said, they become then very depressed. Especially in December. There's a lot of suicides in Holland because it's a very depressing moment. And a depressing time of the year because of the winter. She made it sound like the Grim Reaper has made his home in Holland. But in reality, my wife, she came to Holland, and you find out, I can advise it to you, that the winters in Holland are very present. They are very cozy. They are pleasant. You have hot chocolate, you have coffee, you have your wood stove, and you have your heater or whatever it is, and you have a nice and cozy home. You eat green pea soup and flapjacks. So it's a fantastic time to be in the winter in Holland. And my wife is totally convinced about that. But in the first years, She said, when wintertime would come, I remember the words that were spoken to me. Now, in our story, we have Jacob, and Jacob had heard Joseph is dead, torn apart by a wild animal. And those words, they had stuck with him. That was the last impression that had stayed with him. All the other sons had told him this, and this was fixed in his mind. See, it's possible to hear things about nations, about cities, about situations, about people. Sometimes people speak a derogative remark about a certain person or about a certain couple. And if you're not careful, this sticks with you. These are the last words that you heard about somebody until you meet this couple, until you meet this person and you spend some time with them and you find out it was totally untrue what you heard about them. It was a wrong impression that was given to me. These are nice people. This is a nice couple. And the problem is my memory or my thoughts were formed by some words. And those stuck with me. They influenced me for many years. And this is exactly what happened also in the life of Jacob. He heard the words from his other sons. And the Bible says this, his heart stood still. Another translation said his heart was stunned. It means to almost stop. The Dutch translation says his heart remained cold. Or you could say his heart was frozen. He had a hard time of believing something else. His heart was frozen in the last impression that was given to him. If you look at the Hebrew word, it's the word poog, and that means slow, it means faint, it means weak. His heart was weak, his heart was stopping. He could not believe, he was not able, his heart was not able to believe good things. His heart was not able to receive good things. So impressions or words have the ability to form our hearts and to do something with our hearts. We have the story of Naomi in the Bible. We know that she came back to the city of Bethlehem. And the Bible says that when she returned, all the city was excited. Apparently, she was a known personality. But she is not happy. The Bible says that she comes with this remark in Ruth 1:21. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home again empty, and the Almighty has afflicted me. She says, I came back empty. But if you look at the next verse, the Bible says that she came together with Ruth from Moabite, the daughter-in-law. She came with her. And it was at the beginning of the barley harvest. So here is Naomi, and she says, I am empty, but right next to her, there is Ruth. The Bible says that the moment that she came back, it was the beginning of the barley harvest. So I'm wondering about Ruth. What is she thinking? Here is her mother-in-law, and her mother-in-law makes this remark, I came alone empty. What did Ruth think? Who am I? Am I also part of empty? And that's not really a nice compliment. But Naomi was not capable of seeing another reality. She was not able to see what God had given to her. She was not able to see that Ruth was next to her. She was not able to see that God brought her at the beginning of a barley harvest. There was a new future. There was a new season for her life. She sees life through sorrowful glasses because these were the last impressions that were made in her life. And she says, I am empty. Her heart was stuck with the last experiences that she had in life. See, looking at Jacob, what I also find remarkable, that his sons only tell once that his son Joseph is torn apart by a wild animal, and he believes it. Now his sons come and they say, it is not true what we've said a number of years ago. Your son Joseph is alive. Now he has great difficulty believing that. How is it possible that a sad story was brought to him and he takes that, he believes that, but now there's a good story and this is the truth. He has a hard time believing that. See, the Bible says in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Deceitful. In literal translation, this means a heart that trips us up. A deceitful heart is a heart that trips us up. I was thinking about the birth of my brother. My younger brother is 6 years younger than I am. And so when this baby is born and after a few months, after a year, starts to walk and you have this little boy and he makes his first paces in life. And I'm the older brother, I'm 6 years older. And so there's nothing more interesting than just to put your leg like this and to see, boop, what's happening. And I thought it was great fun. My mother had another opinion about that, but we're not speaking about that this morning. But this is how our heart is. Our heart trips us up. It causes us to stumble and it causes us not to go on. It causes us that we are limited. The Bible says that the heart is wicked. Another translation says the heart is sick. A literal translation says the heart is incurable. Another translation says the heart is inclined to melancholy, just like songs which are in minor, like I thought so. This is gonna stay like that. This is the problem with that person. This is never gonna change. This is the situation in our city. Other situations, other cities, other pastors, other churches, it goes better there. But here we are stuck with this situation, this city, and it's hard in this place. See, the default faith of the natural man is negative. And this was the lie that Jacob believed. See, the devil is a liar. He did not believe something that was true. He believed something that was totally untrue. But the default faith of a human being is easily inclined to believe in the negative. I read about the civilian people in Japan during the Second World War, and they were told, they were lied to about the American soldiers. They were lied to about them. They were told, these young men, they are extremely cruel. They will come, they will horribly abuse you. And this was the lies that was brought upon them, only to find out that they were lied to, that it was totally untrue, that MacArthur and his army came with grace and compassion and a lot of help. And after a few years of the influence of General MacArthur, the Japanese people wept when MacArthur went back to the United States. And they found out they've all been believing in a lie. So Jacob said, I have a hard time believing the good news. He was stuck for a long time in a lie, and that limited his life. So secondly, I'd like to speak about the pull, the sudden pull or the yank towards reality. Because this is what God is doing in his life, and he does that through the words of Joseph. The Bible says in verse 27, when they told him all the words which Joseph had said to them. So the brothers brought the words of Joseph to Jacob. We need words to bring us to other thoughts. We need words to bring us to another idea. Here is an image, here is a type of Jesus Christ. He speaks words in the life of his father. Just like before we got saved, somebody needed to speak to us, somebody needed to testify to us, to yank us in another direction, to hear about all the possibilities of God for our lives. Somebody to speak to us and say, there's an answer for you, there's grace of God to deliver, there's grace of God to change, there's a new life for you, there's a new start in life for you. We needed good words. That is the reason also that we come to conference. We need to hear words, words that will pull us towards the reality that is in Jesus Christ, the solutions that he has for us, the grace that he has for us, the answer that he has for our situation. The devil is a liar. He says situations in your city will always stay like that. That person or that pastor or this problematic situation, it's going to stay. It's going to remain like this. It will never change. We have problems that other people do not have. That is a lie. And we need the words of God to speak in our lives. That's why we have confidence that we hear what God will do. And he is willing and he is dedicated to yank at our hearts, to bring a sudden pull to our hearts and to reveal to us his truth and his answers, what he can do and what he wants to do in our city. So the women in Bethlehem, they start to speak to Naomi. And they say to Naomi, blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a close relative. And may he be to you as a restorer of life and a nourisher of your old age. Your daughter-in-law who loves you, and she is better than seven sons. So they speak words, and this brings restoration to the life of Naomi. They tell Naomi what the reality really, really is, that there is a blessing in her life through Ruth. Not only there is a blessing in her life with her daughter-in-law, but also there's a new future. There's a new destiny. A child is born. There's a new season for your love, for your life. So God is dedicated in pulling us towards him. Just like Jesus Christ, he speaks to Thomas and he says, I want you to come here. Reach your finger here. Look at my hands. Reach your hand here and put it into my side. So he is dedicated. He says, I want you to be pulled in reality. I want you to know what the truth really is. You did believe the wrong thing. You believe that there's no solution. You believe there's no way out. You allowed your life to be limited. But I'm dedicated to you that I will show you that there's something beyond the limits that you have now in your life. Isaiah was a young man. He grew up under the reign of King Uzziah. This was a great king. The Bible says after 52 years of reign, this man died. And without doubt, Isaiah was affected heavily because of that. The Bible says in Isaiah 6 verse 1, that in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. So the king here lives and dies, and Isaiah, he must have been struck with grief, and now God reveals himself to him. He speaks to him and he says, Isaiah, don't be discouraged, don't be dismayed. I'm still sitting on the throne. I have power for you. I have answers for you. I have a season for you. This is the heart of God. He is dedicated at pulling at our hearts and showing us the reality. And he wants to take away the last impressions, sometimes not the best impressions. So let me close with speaking about reviving the spirit. The Bible says that the spirit of Jacob, their father, revived. This is like a sudden wind. This is like a gust of fresh air. Another translation says he lived a new and fresh life. It's like blowing in a smoldering fire and bring it to a new ignition, to bring it to a new fire. See, this is the nature of our God. He is dedicated in reviving and changing and reanimating our hearts. Isaiah 57, he speaks about his nature and his character. He says, I am the high and the lofty one. I am the one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and a holy place, and with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. The Spanish Bible says here, I'm dedicated para reanimar el espíritu, to bring new life, to resuscitate your heart, to make the heart live again. He says, this is my nature. I'm the high and the lofty one. He says, I live in eternity. I'm all powerful. And I use my power. I put it to use in reanimating, in reviving the spirit of my people. So we see how God is working here in the heart of Jacob. He's reviving his heart. And Jacob says, okay, I will see Joseph and I will die. It's enough. I will see Joseph. It's good news. And I will die. See, but God is reviving his heart. God is speaking to him. Not only to give him an emotional fix. He's not speaking to him just to give him a happy moment. We are not here in this conference just to be emotionally touched. God has a lot more for us. If we look at Jacob, the Bible says at the moment that he hears the word of Joseph, he is already 130 years in age. See, for God, it was not enough. He wanted to do a whole lot more. Listen what the Bible says in Genesis 47, verse 27. So Israel dwelt in the land of Egypt, in the country of Goshen, and they had possessions there and grew and multiplied exceedingly. And Jacob lived in the land of Egypt 17 years. So the length of Jacob's life was 147 years. So God is saying, I did not bring you here, and I'm not going to bring you to Egypt just to give you a happy moment. Not only to let you know that your son Joseph is alive, and then you can die, and then it's over. God gave him another 17 years. He gave him a whole new future. Here is Jacob. He sees the prosperity of his people. He sees a growth in prosperity. There's a whole part of the land Goshen that has been given to them. He sees fruitfulness. He sees his grandchildren. He sees his family changing and becoming a nation. God says, this is what I do for you. I'm not only dedicated to change your heart. I'm not only dedicated to give you another view, but I'm dedicated to give you another destiny. There's something else beyond the limits that you have thought for yourself. There's a whole new season. There's a whole new destiny for you. And I want you to enjoy that. And I want you to see that. Jacob said, I will just go. And I will see. But God had a whole lot more. The Bible speaks about Naomi, that she came from the land of Moab, but she came also in Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. It was not only that she saw God's kingdom, that she saw the city of Bethlehem, but she saw also a whole new harvest, a whole new destiny developing before her eyes. So here we have Jacob. Jacob allowed God to speak to his heart. Jacob allowed God to revive his spirit. And then he said, I will go and see. We're going to have a great week. We already had a great start with Pastor Greg, with Pastor Lamb, and we're going to have a great week. It's my prayer that God will speak to our hearts, that we will be revived, that we will look at the situations in our churches, that we will look at the situations in our cities. And some of these situations seems to be stuck and seem to be like, well, it will stay like that. Will there be an answer? Will there be a solution for that? But God wants to change us, and he wants to look farther and says to us, hey, there's something beyond this. There is an answer with God. There is no impossibilities. I was thinking of a young couple in our church. They went out 3 years ago, Klaas and Rose. They went to a city near to us with the name of Almelo. Well, Almelo, for many, many years, we stayed clear, or we steered clear of that city. Somewhere in the past, somebody tried. It did not go well. And most of the door directors from our church steered clear of Almelo. It is a city not too big. There's not a lot of students. There's a lot of unemployment. Economic activity doesn't seem to be very strong. But Klaas, after all these years, he is now a young door director, ready to be sent out. And he says, I want to go to Almelo because it's near to Zwolle and I want to go to that city. And we sent him out in the midst of COVID, and that was a bit of a concern to us, but they went full of faith. They went full of desire, full of the prospects of what God could do in that city. And lo and behold, he started, he got immediate favor from the city council. He got a nice building, and because of COVID, he had a small group of people in a bigger building. That's no problem. So he started, and from the beginning, it started to take off. Perhaps not many students in that city, but a lot of young people in that city. Now he has a lot of couple in his churches. It's a thriving church. And he told me a few months ago, we have our first marriage retreat or first marriage weekend. So many couples there, so many people. And this is in a place where people thought, this is difficult, this is not the right place, the circumstances, all our impressions, all our ideas, all the words that were spoken about this city, they don't seem well. But he listened to what God spoke in his heart, and he believed something else. He believed what God could do in that city. The Bible says that Jacob listened, and then he went. So at the end of this week, we all will go back to our cities. And I believe this conference will change us. I believe this conference will speak to our hearts. I believe this conference will do something in our hearts. I believe it's going to reanimate our hearts. It's going to revive our hearts. It's going to do something that we will believe for more. Perhaps situations which are difficult and which seems to be stuck. We have building problems. We have all sorts of problems, situations that seems to be, it's hard. But God will speak to us. And on the moment that we will go back, I believe God will do something new. He will not only speak.
Listen to the PHSA Potter's House Salmon Arm podcast. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at Potter's House_Salmon Arm to keep up to date on what we are doing, join the conversation, and discover how Jesus Christ can revolutionize your life.